This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I check out Empirical and Break Room, and then we open up a six-year-old beer. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we're back again with our weekly show on Chicago, I guess, alcohol. Right?
Can't stop, won't stop, Brad.
Yeah, beer focused, because I think that's what we tend to drink the most of, unless you're mixing drinks at home.
I got a couple. I'm not very creative, but okay. What I do is I jack the menu every time I go out to a cocktail bar.
Yeah.
And then I make those at home.
Okay.
So like all the stuff from like the Whistler and Lost Lake, I'm like trying to make that shit at home to get started.
I was listening to some guys today talk about drinking.
Yeah.
And they were talking about gin, and then one guy's like, "Yeah, I did like 4 gin shots." I was like, "I don't think you do gin shots. That's something you definitely don't do."
Poor guy.
Yeah, that was your first mistake. Yeah, he's like, "I don't like gin. I did 4 shots," and it's like, "No."
That's you, tequila. Yeah. I wouldn't shoot gin or vodka for that matter.
Vodka, well, I can vodka shots.
You
okay.
Shoot a vodka.
You can do vodka, okay. But gin. I've never heard anyone doing gin shots. All right, but that we're beer here. We're focused on beer. So I reached into the cellar. We have some Bader Brow. We'll get into in a second here, but yeah. We're also drinking. Or we opened up Heartwood. This is the 2010 Symposium Ale.
Yeah, man. Craft Brewers Conference. We talk about it all the time. Craft Brewers Conference and Great American Beer Fest are the two big festivals.
Yeah.
Craft Brewers Conference every other year, right? And it's every year.
Yeah.
But it rotates cities.
Right.
And then they do the World Beer Cup, which is every other year at Craft Brewers Conference.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Got it. All right. Cool. Yeah. It's a Brewers Association event. So it was in Chicago in 2010.
Yeah. And so all the breweries, or most of them came together that were here in Chicago, they came together to make a beer.
Yeah.
It turned into where they brewed a couple different beers together and blended it together, and they basically kind of made a Bourbon County.
Now, right. I saw the video, man. Cheers to the producers of that video.
Yeah, that was a Hopcast team production.
Yeah, that was a really good video. And yeah, you're right. They took like they had the panel, and then they took everybody's ideas, made separate beers, and then blended them all together and stuck them in a barrel.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then blended those together to find the right combination. And before the 2010 one, most of the beers were made at one brewery. Like, one brewery is responsible. And since 2010, it's usually been, like, collaborations now of other breweries in the city, so someone's not just responsible for that. So
yeah.
I say kudos to Chicago for, like, kicking that off.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, because you're right. Like, nowadays you see things like at the CBC in Portland, like they had like 6 or 7 different beers to represent like the different regions of Portland. But yeah, they weren't doing any of that before that thing came to Chicago, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so this beer is, it's like almost 6 years old now.
Oh, yeah. Guess you're right.
And
it's starting to show its age.
It has. Like, I doubt very many people have this bottle sitting around. I think I still have one more even, but there's lots of cellar notes in the aroma, and the taste is, all the burn is gone. It's just kind of this like a sweet bourbon that's not great.
Yeah, if you were stuck with a stout or a barley wine for this long, right, you'll get those overly sweet notes. Like, sometimes it's cool to get the alcohol and the sweetness that kind of balance each other out.
Yeah.
But here, the sweetness is just kind of dominating. So you're talking all those roasty malts, all that booze.
It's gone.
It's all gone.
But, but to go along with that, I wanted to open up and see what it is, because I got all these beers, some of them pretty old in the cellar here. And that cellar is at the office now, so it's easy picking. Like, let's give this a try.
Yeah.
So I figured, why not?
It's a shell of what it was, but you do get those faint, like, really cool, rich flavors at the very end when you drink it, right? Oh, and this is the Symposium Ale label was designed by Randy Mosher.
Right.
Brewed at Goose Island, Clybourne, I'm assuming, right? Back then.
Yeah. Whereas brewed at Wrigley, one of the beers was brewed at Wrigley, one was brewed at Clybourne, I think. So it was a few different places.
Yeah, and they, I'm looking at the breweries that were responsible. A few of these, I don't know, still exist. Lunar Brewing, America's Brew Pub.
America's, what did America's turn into? I forget what America's turned into. But yeah. Mike Rubinsky worked at America's.
Yeah, that's before my time.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where that is. Yeah, but then the rest of these names are pretty recognizable, though. Yeah, from the burbs and from the city. So, very cool. Yeah. This is a nice walk down memory lane here, man. This is cool.
Yeah, kick off the show with a little memories here.
Yeah.
And warm ourselves up because it's snowing here today, and you need a good, 13% beer to kick things off.
True indeed. And real quick, these are the beers that they use. They separated into four teams. They brewed an Imperial Stout, Imperial IPA, a Scotch Wee Heavy, and a barley wine.
Yeah.
Right on.
So cheers. I'll sip on that a little bit. But then I also picked up some Bader Brow Naked Selfie.
There you go. For those long winter nights.
Yeah. So we had Bader Brow guy on, I don't know.
Rob, so what was that like? Last summer, well, two summers ago.
2 years ago now.
Man.
He was on, their lawnmower had just come out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so we were talking about that. So I saw this on the shelf here at the store on the corner here, and I was like, oh, I never had this beer from them. Yeah. Figured I'd give it a try.
Okay.
It is a twist off, so you don't even need you don't need the bottle opener. But I feel like Rob talked about that as, like, one of their things, like they want it. Quick access to their beer. I forget the reasoning behind it.
I hear that. And I wonder what the...
The barrier of entry is minimal.
Yeah, like what are the views on, from a production standpoint, like twist versus like cap? No, twist versus pry.
Yeah,
like where are the advantages, disadvantages kind of thing? I'm kind of curious about that now that we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that kind of poured out big carbonation there. Have you had the Naked Selfie before?
A long time ago.
Okay.
I think I might have had it at an event or something. Yeah.
I'm not a big... Black IPA fan.
Yeah, and then it's an oxymoron, right? Like, how can something be both black and pale?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, this is a pale lager, too.
Right.
Black and lager. So it's a lighter, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Some I've had, I think, like, there was one I had recently that was pretty out of sight.
Mm. All right. That's not bad. Super roasty.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the IPLs, man, because, like, most of them are true to form and just give you a really light body, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't linger a whole lot. I like that.
But I know we're going to talk about Budweiser here later in this episode, but this logo makes me think of, like, Bud Light, like, Platinum.
Bud Light Platinum?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, super shiny silver. Yeah, this is...
And it being a twist-off, and is, but I don't know if I've ever had Bud Light Platinum.
I don't think so. My sister, she was a huge fan of, like, Budweiser Select.
Okay.
And those would always, like, you know, just give me a headache after a while. This is certainly better than Budweiser Select. Yeah, this is tasty.
She would hate for them to listen to this and be like, whew, at least he said we're better than Budweiser. Yeah. All right. So sip on this. Bader Brow is always like a good one to pick up. So I say give them a try if you see them around. And yeah,
I'd agree with that. The original Pilsner, the Lawnmower Lager, I think might be my favorite from them. And then this one's pretty good as well.
Yeah.
They've got a few more seasonals, but those three kind of stand out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we drink on these, what'd you make it to this week? What'd you do?
Man, so I went up. I made my my semi-annual pilgrimage to Andersonville, Chicago.
Okay.
I usually get up there. Now I get up there twice a year because I definitely have to go for the Gluck slushies in the summer.
Yeah.
And I blame you for that.
But then, good, man.
But then I end up at Hop Leaf at least once a year, you know. So I went up there for Super Stout Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were doing, this is the third annual. They do a Super Bowl tasting every year. And, you know, I just want to say kudos to these guys, man, because they, you know, they could have dicked around and gave, like, these extreme prices for some of this hard-to-find stuff.
Okay.
You know, namely, like, Prop 2015, you know, KBS, that kind of stuff. But you got this stuff, and you got the sampler glass, the bell-shaped glass. It was, like, $5 a pour. And it was, like, just a respectable, easy, super chill Sunday. You know, especially considering how ridiculous their tap list was. And, you know, like in comparison, right? I mean, the reason I brought that up is because, you know, State and Lake, the Wit, you know, there's a tavern at the bottom.
Right.
And they had, you know, they had a BCS party and it was like, oh, we'll give you Regal Rye, but Regal Rye is like $60 a bottle. Like just kind of a ridiculous markup, you know. And this was a throwback to like what it used to be for me when like cool, rare, if you will, tappings happened.
Okay.
You know, cool shit went on tap and it just wasn't a frenzy. It wasn't like, it wasn't all bro-y, you know. Because I was like, man, you know, thank God for the Top Leaf, man. This place is cool.
Yeah, was it, how busy was it?
Oh, it was packed. It was packed. It was 100% packed. We walked right in and got a seat. We were probably, you know, last ones to get sat and everyone, you know, but
did
it was
you
like.
Did you go back to the new area or were you up in the front?
I was in the new area.
Okay.
We started to venture around upstairs, but they said the upstairs was closed that day. Closed until 5.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically three bars, right? Like, well, kind front bar, back bar, and then the new space, and then upstairs. So really like 4.
Yeah. Well, the back bar is just kind of the kit, just the dining area.
Okay.
So it's not,
you're right.
There's not a bar.
There's no taps back there.
But there are like four, I would say like four locations.
Four rooms and then three bars
at
a Hop Leaf. And it's classic, man. Like no TVs. They barely play music. Mm-hmm. You know, just beer and conversation, man.
Yeah, it still gets loud in there.
Yeah, it's just bustling. It is hopping up there. It's really fun. Yeah, so I went up there on a Sunday. And then when we were there, we're like, well, dude, you know, we're in Andersonville. What else is going on?
Yeah.
So we thought about going to Transient, which occupied the Aquanaut, sorry.
Okay.
Aquanaut, which operated the in the old Four Paws space.
Yeah.
And Four Paws is really like one of the only breweries of this new wave that just kind of
fizzled out.
Yeah, they took the bullet, man. They bit the dust. Oh, and then Aquanaut moved in.
Okay.
Oh, but Aquanaut didn't really have, you know,
a tap room or.
We don't know. They didn't have a phone number. So we were like, "Yo, should we go?" And they were like, "Well, Empirical's got a phone number, and they are 100% open."
Yeah, and they're
watching the Super Bowl.
Too far from there. I know. I drove past there coming from this way, heading on the south side or south. Roscoe Village area, south of Andersonville.
Yeah.
So
we slid over to Empirical. You know, I hang out with Clint from Lake Effect all the time, and then you know we were at a bar, and he happened to have, you know, some Empirical bottles, and he's like, and I'm like, dude, we're going to Hop Leaf Sunday. He's like, you should go up there.
Okay.
You know, so it was his idea. So we went up there, and yeah, it was pretty good. We had a beer on the show that was kind of, it was a little weird, right? It was a ginger wheat and gamma ray
ginger wheat.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah.
Yeah, we were just like, meh. And then we got there, you know, we're like, well, let's see what they're doing. And we tried the beers, man, and we loved them, man. They had a black IPA on, and they had an Imperial IPA. They actually had like 7 beers total. And then they had a few cask engines. It was actually a really neat space. And you know what I like is that they're, all their tap handles are like, they look like,
bottle opener kind
of
thing?
No, they look like what's the thing that Luke Skywalker carries?
Lightsabers?
Yeah, they look like lightsabers.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Why was I blanking on that?
I don't know. I didn't know where you were going with that. So
yeah, their tap handles look pretty cool. Some of them did. And then what I like about their space is that it's big, it's raw, it's very industrial, you know, none of this pinkies up stuff that we're seeing. And then none of the brewing equipment is actually visible in the tap room.
Oh, okay. You
know? So like I'm like, so where's the
Brewhouse,
Where's the brewhouse? He's like, oh, it's behind that wall. He's like, we really want to focus on having, you know, leather, you know, a couple leather couches, a bunch of games, and we really want to focus on having a real tap room.
Okay.
You know? So I mean, it was different. You know, it kind of reminded you of like a super cool like garage setup.
Oh, neat. You know? Okay, that is kind of different than you see elsewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen pictures. Do they have like garage doors that can kind of open?
I think so. I know they have Galaga and Ms. Pac-Man.
Okay.
And they do have big windows.
Okay. Maybe it's just windows that look like it could kind of open up in the summertime.
A big wide open space. There was a really cool art installation there. So there was like this artist and all his art, all his work was featured all around the walls.
Okay.
And it was good.
Nice.
It was damn good. I'm glad I went.
Made it not too far from there. I made it to Break Room.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So
I don't think I've been there. You know, I went once. A while back.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my second time there. I went there just for drinks once before. And so this time Maeve and I went there. We ate. We had some salmon and beet salad. We kind of shared. We weren't that hungry. But had a couple of their beers and place is really nice.
Their space is, yeah, their space is fantastic.
So I'm sure completely different than Empirical. Like
it's 360, yeah.
It's decked out. It has, you know, fancy fixtures and the super nice wooden bar. And
there's almost like, I mean, when I went, there was this, it's like this upstairs space. You can walk the stairs, mm-hmm. and then there's like this almost like a reserve space where you could have like, you know, maybe 20 people up there,
yeah.
just away from the entire crowd, kind of overlooking the crowd.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then they also do the like can growler, the crowler kind of thing that Dry Hop Bit does. So
yeah.
You get that going. It wasn't too busy. Maeve and I were there, and it was a Saturday around like 5-6ish.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people there. Pretty quiet. So think it's kind of become like a neighborhood place. It's not like a destination place. It's not a piece where everyone wants to go there and have the pizza. And
right, like you go out of your way to go.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, people in the neighborhood, there's kids, there's like a couple groups there. So,
what's your opinion on, we're talking about this week, what's your opinion on kids in these places? Because like you go to a place like Haymarket, for example, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a kid, so I'm not anti-kids, you know, I have a kid. But like, some of these places, like, you know, the folks at Haymarket, they have kids. So, like, they have, like, sippy cups and, like, crayons and shit. And, like, you know, it's, like, kid-friendly.
Sure.
You know?
I'm fine with it. Like,
well, I get to
after,
a point. Like,
after
yeah.
late at night, like, I don't think they're allowed in usually after 9 or 10 because people do get rowdy. You know, it gets a little crazier. So they don't want that to influence, like, oh, I don't want to drink this fourth beer because this kid's like looking at me, you know,
like I got 400 on, you know, Michigan versus Michigan State, and I got this kid, you know,
eyeballing me down the bar. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, because I start freaking out when I see kids like in a space like after 5. I feel like there's got to be a cutoff. Like, come on, like, all right. So if it's 5 o'clock and you know you got your kid, I don't know, man. Like, just chill at the house.
I don't know. Everyone like it's hard to. I don't have kids yet, so it's hard to say, like, do it or don't do it.
Get that kid out of here. It's 6 o'clock. Get that kid out of here.
Yeah, no, maybe their house is being, you know, it flooded. Maybe their heat's out, so they're at the bar, you know, doing the thing there.
You got to handle that BYOB situation at that point, man. I don't know.
No heat. Their power is out. What are they supposed to do?
I don't know, I was just wondering, man.
Stuff. No, I don't mind it. It says you go to Portland and you see it all the time. Like every place you go in has kids, and you don't see that as much in Chicago. And I'm usually not at a lot of places that would have kids. But then us going to a break room or somewhere up north like that, where there are more kids and families in the neighborhood, like Wicker Park, that's not a lot of kids. Yeah. No one's going with their kid to Big Star that often.
Man,
so, right?
You know, the country music, the tacos are okay, but the country music and the whiskey and the cocktails at Big Star, always a pleasure. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what I did. I forget the beers I had. Did you do anything else?
No, that's all I did.
All right. So we both made it to a couple different brew pubs. I feel like that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
So Empirical and Break Room, check them out. So should we dive into this coming week here and what we got on the calendar?
Yeah, let's do it. Where should we start, man? Thursday? Does that work for you?
Thursday, yeah.
All right, cool. So Thursday's February 11th. Valentine's Day is this weekend. So happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there. I just sounded like a slow jam DJ.
This cuts for you. Cuddle up and, you know.
Thursday the 11th at Ale Syndicate in Logan Square. Is Richie's, the triple-aged Richie release party. So they've got a triple barrel-aged version of Richie Porter that is going to be released at 7 p.m. on Thursday the 11th. Also, German Donor Kebabs is going to be there, and a band called the Chicago Traffic Jam will also be there. And this is a free event. They're just kind of saying, hey, thank you for just being cool and, you know, buying our beer. We love it. Come fucking party with us and drink this new beer for them.
Oh, that's cool. What time does that start?
It's a 7 p.m. start.
7 p.m., okay. So free beer, free music. Check it out. We think it's free beer.
Right? Yeah, it's totally free.
Oh, it's totally free beer. Okay.
It's totally free. Yeah.
All right, nice. Thursday. How about Friday?
Then you might have to pay for the food, though.
I have to pay for the food? Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm out.
You know what? Deal breaker. I'm out. That's all I got for Thursday, man.
On Friday, I found one out in the suburbs in Romeoville.
Right.
So it's a little ways out there. At this monk or Metal Monkey Brewing, I have never heard of them. Have you heard of them before?
No.
Okay. Looks like they're just having an event where Chicago Pizza Boss is coming out there. It's a brick oven pizza place. They're just coming out there, cooking up some of their amazing food in their parking lot Friday.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have a food truck or is it a pizza oven on wheels?
I feel like it's mobile.
Yeah, okay.
Because you read that name a lot. And then, like, yeah. And we're starting to get to a point where, like, I think it's kind of cool, like, the tap room food truck collab. See that a lot.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they have a picture of the food truck, but it just looks like, or of the truck, but it looks more like a, almost a semi kind of thing, which I guess makes sense. You got to have a pizza oven. Like, it looks giant. Look at this picture. Like, it looks like, it doesn't look like a food truck.
Yeah, you're right. That looks more like the delivery trucks that drop off beer every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But pizzas look good. I'd check this out if I was near Romeoville at all. It kicks off at 6 p.m. And try Metal Monkey. I don't know too much about them. I would like to make it out there and give them a try. They have a very pretty neat logo there. I don't know. Looks tough. Kind of like it.
I don't know. Beautiful Romeoville, Illinois.
Even they have monkeys you can buy at the tap room. Not real monkeys if you're not. If you're not watching the video here, I'm looking through their Facebook photos now. I'm interested in these guys. I'm gonna have take the, what, it's probably hour and a half drive out to Romeoville from Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be a hike. That's going to be a hike.
All right. So that's Friday if you're out that way. Anything happening around the city downtown here?
Yeah. So the local option, they're actually doing two parties this weekend. The first is going to be for their barley wine collaboration with Pipeworks.
I didn't even know they had a barley wine collaboration.
I didn't either. Yeah. So this is the, it's a hardcore name too, like Row Worker and Schlusser release party.
Okay.
So apparently there's a non-barrel-aged and then a barrel-aged version of this barley wine. The barrel-aged version was batch 666. So they're gonna release both. And these are bottles you can buy. It's limit one per person from Pipeworks. And then in addition to that, they're going to have a whopping 14 Pipeworks beers on tap. And then another 8 in bottles.
Okay. That's almost a true tap takeover.
That's a real tap takeover.
Okay. Not this 4 beers on draft
that's,
tap takeover.
You know, that's an invasion at best.
Yeah.
It is not a takeover.
Four is, I think you got to have at least 5.
Five to bet.
For an invasion. Or you only have 4 taps.
Yeah, you might only have 4 taps.
Then it's a tap takeover if you have. Yeah, otherwise, it's not. It's just a.
But if I see taps 6, 7, and 8 not occupied by that brewery and you call it a takeover, I'm appalled and disgusted.
False advertising.
So that's going to be Friday. Cheers to those guys, man. You know, I like the more these other places pop up, these new, you know, these new beer focused bars and these new chain restaurants that are like serving the craft beer. You know, you get a place like Local Option where you're always going to go somewhere and see something on the menu and be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, they're always going to challenge you to, like, you know, explore beer and dive deeper into beer. And then they make their own beer.
Yeah.
And for a bar, I think they're kicking ass.
Right? No, yeah, that's pretty awesome. So that's Friday as well.
Yeah, and then Saturday they're doing a Jester King at High Noon event. And at that event, they're just going to have a bunch of bottle releases from Jester King. Jester King's out of Austin, Texas. I don't believe they distribute here. I think you can get their beers here for, like, this one day only thing. And they're going to have, like, 9 or 10 of them.
All right, nice. So you probably still have a lot of those Pipeworks beers on tap as well still.
Yeah, the next day, for sure. For sure.
So that's pretty awesome. So that's a Friday and Saturday. Not a bad weekend over at Local Option, I think.
No,
it's
not
worth
at all.
Checking out one of those. Anything else happening on the weekend?
No, that's actually all I got, man.
There was something next Wednesday, even though we record on Tuesdays.
Yes.
There is a event happening on Wednesday. I know you came across it and we started to write it down, but then we lost it. So we will share that on the Facebook page. That's
there
probably our best. That's a tease right there. For you,
that sounds pretty good.
So check out the Facebook page / Chicago Beer Pass and we'll share it up there, because you need to get tickets for this. It's a ticketed event.
Oh, it's a ticketed event. Why didn't you say so? I've got it right here. It's the Chicago Distilling Company, which is actually right next door to Emporium, Logan Square.
Yeah.
And then Smiley Brothers. They're having a they're having a beer dinner. It's going to be up at Smiley Brothers in Evanston. So it's a gin beer dinner.
Oh, okay. So, that's why we were talking about gin.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about gin earlier. Yeah, so... So Smiley Brothers has a gin barrel-aged farmhouse beer that use Chicago Distilling Company's gin barrels.
Oh, okay.
So then they decide to get together with the kitchen and make a menu based on that, inspired by that, right? So you'll get some beer offerings, and then you'll also get some cocktail offerings all in the same dinner.
Nice, okay. Yeah,
it looks like four courses, and it'll be looks like $25, which sounds pretty sweet.
Four courses? That's pretty good, yeah. Yeah, but we'll share that on the Facebook page so everyone has a link and easy access to that.
Right on.
Because that does it for all the, I guess, events happening this week.
Yeah.
That we came across. I'm sure there's more, and we do try to share those on our Facebook page and Twitter and all that good stuff, so be sure to follow us there.
Right on.
But we always like to close it out with some news as well, and there was quite a bit of Budweiser news.
You know, Budweiser, man, doing what they do. They're a marketing company at their core, right? I mean, they make beer, and they make a shitload of it, but they're a marketing company.
Yeah, they make a thing called beer.
Right? Yeah, so apparently, you know, Super Bowl 50, Peyton Manning, the Super Bowl winning quarterback for the Broncos, you know, he gave some awkward shout-outs to Budweiser, like deliberate shout-outs.
Twice,
yeah. And Twitter was in an uproar, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And apparently, you know, Inc.com says, you know, he's doing this because he's a shareholder in a Louisiana Budweiser distributor, which I never knew. I never knew that at all about Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I read that too, and I feel like that's kind of bullshit, right? Like, you can't...
Is nothing sacred anymore? In the post-game interview, you're going to shout out fucking Budweiser?
Like, it's like a weird thing, because you could be like, hey, buy this stock, right? Like, I bought a bunch of this stock yesterday. Buy it. And I'm going to sell it tomorrow, because you're going to buy it. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Where does it end?
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
So you have a vested interest in making this happen.
Because, you know, like...
I understand if you were paid to do it. Like, oh, hey, mention us, and we'll pay you this. Like, that's advertising.
Exactly.
But he has more to gain, because he...
He's probably going to retire soon.
Yeah.
And then and then he's an owner. He's the part owner. And that same article, they mentioned that, you know, what he did in front of that audience was equivalent to about $3.2 million in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And I'm with you, man. I feel like, you know, if you're doing a straight up commercial, like, you know, a Papa John's commercial,
yeah,
and that's one thing. But if you and I are just having this casual conversation post game, and then you start mentioning, yeah, you know, I can buy this stock in Nabisco,
right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where does this thing end with the post game stuff? Like, where do you cut it off? I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. They were also selling Bud Lights at $13 a cup at
during,
the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl?
Getting paid.
All right. It was like less watched of a Super Bowl than last year's, right?
Yeah.
And for it being the 50th, it's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising.
And then Budweiser also ran another ad.
Yeah, you're right.
Another commercial with, you know, text heavy attacking non-Budweiser drinkers is probably the best way to say that now.
It seemed very direct, especially the whole we're not a hobby, we're not imported.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Those are direct shots. Yeah. At like a specific drinker.
Right. You know? Which I think comes off, I think, even more awkward. Like the one last year was like they're attacking us and I felt mad. This one just kind of comes out like, you guys are attacking yourself because, like, they had that, like, oh, we're not fruity. Oh, but you have Shock Top. And that's the same company.
Yeah, and they kind of name dropped, hey, we don't make this specific kind of beer. But then, like, Elysian made that kind of beer. It was like a ginger peach.
Whatever. Right, that was last year's.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but you spent an entire year buying, what, a half a dozen?
Oh, this year with the nut, we're not a fruity cup?
Yeah, we're not a fruity cup.
You're right.
That's like you have Shock Top, you also have 312, and I've seen people put lemons or oranges in 312.
Yeah.
So it's like you're just attacking yourself, and it doesn't make a lot of – this commercial didn't make a lot of sense to me. Last one felt more like an attack.
Yeah.
And like, oh, man, this one's just like, you guys are just dummies.
I mean, they're so big that they're okay with – attacking parts of their company to, you know, to, so that other parts can gain. I guess that's how big they are.
Yeah.
That's the only explanation I can give, right? Like, yeah, like you're saying, like.
But if you're like the shock, I saw like the Pace magazine article, like if you're the shock top, like, I guess, lead creative or manager there, you're like, what the fuck, dudes? Like, yeah. I work for you and you're like, now I can't sell as much beer because people are like, oh, that's stupid.
Right, right. Yeah. It's an odd dynamic. I don't understand it, but
I only saw it once.
But they're the most talked about brewery at the Super Bowl. Maybe that was the goal.
Yeah. You know? I guess it happened. All right. I think we will move on faster from this commercial because I think everyone's just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
Anything else in the beer news world?
Oh, Oscar Blues, man. They made the news because they stopped production and they filled 100,000 cans with water.
Okay.
And sent it up to Flint, Michigan.
Oh, cool.
So I guess Flint's got that thing where, like, there's, like, lead in the water.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
you turn your water and it's brown. Like, I don't understand that. But, yeah. Oscar Blues stepped in. So cheers to them.
Nice. You know,
they didn't have they didn't spend a lot of money on Super Bowl ads. But they sent water to people who have their water poisoned in Michigan.
So. Okay.
So cheers to them.
Nice.
Jerry Rubin, man, he's delivering on a new beer, a barrel-aged barley wine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a barrel-aged chocolate barley wine, just in time for Valentine's Day.
Ooh, okay. I was going to say, like, barrel-aged barley wine, Jared, come on, that's boring. Oh, yeah. Chocolate. All right.
Barely chocolate, by the way.
All right. Yeah,
and he actually he likes those Mexican chocolates. And when he was at Goose, he won a gold medal for Goose Island Wrigleyville with a chocolate barley wine stout. Remember the very first one at the at the Bridgeport Art Center?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he won the barley wine category that year with a chocolate barley wine.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Okay.
He's going to be at the flagship Binnie's. He's going to be there during the day on Valentine's Day, sampling it out. Yeah, he's probably not going to be there all day. He's probably got some
adult
things to do a little bit later.
Let's see his lady.
You know? Yeah, but yeah, cheers to him, man. Like Jared, he makes good beer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Then I also saw Alarmists got their cans in, and they're going to start hitting the shelf, I think, this weekend. They said look for them as early as Friday.
I had the Pantsless IPA, man, and I dug it a lot.
I don't know if the Pantsless is getting bottled or canned.
Okay.
And it looks like they have tall boy cans from the photo. And yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah. And their tap handle is really righteous, too.
Mm-hmm. It's sick of dynamite.
Man.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Right on, man.
Anything else happening?
A little bit more news. Not Your Father's Root Beer. We were talking to those guys this week. And apparently they wanted to let us know that Not Your Father's Root Beer is being hailed by pundits as the next big thing in craft beer.
Okay.
And then they sold 1.8 million cases of that beer last year.
That's a lot. I know my mom contributed to that.
Yeah.
She drinks it. She likes it.
It's a weird phenomenon, man. It tastes just like IBC root beer, you know. And then, I mean, we interviewed the guy, Tim Novak, Small Town Brewing, right? And, you know, he's a good guy. And so cheers to him, you know, because he's making a few bucks. I'm sure he's paying his bills now, you know, 1.8 million cases. But that recipe got picked up by Pabst. So when you look at the bottle, it's a La Crosse, Wisconsin, you know, the same place they're making Four Loko and whatever the fuck else they make. So it's like that brand is nationwide because it's being made by Pabst. And then everything else he makes is probably just being made up in Wakanda or wherever his location is. Yeah. But
because we had some Rowdy on.
Exactly, yeah. And that was one thing that they mentioned that I thought was kind of noteworthy, man. You are starting to see, like, you know, a spike in the copycats. Rowdy is from Berghoff. I think AB picked up a brand called, like, Henry's Hard Soda.
Yeah.
And, you know, that hard soda category is got a lot more entries because of them.
It's coming back again.
You know, because of them. So, yeah.
So, but they're still trying to call it craft beer, huh?
Yeah, they will not stop calling it craft beer. I'm like, this is the same crew that was doing like 10 million cases a year of Colt 45 from the exact same facility. Like, get out of here with your this is craft beer shit.
It's fine. I don't know. It's interesting to try. I can't drink. I have a hard time drinking a whole one.
There's a really big version. I used to have it on tap in Westtown. It's 19%.
Yeah,
you know, it was really big version. I remember that one. Yeah, I mean it's gimmicky, but you know I was talking to a guy about it, and he was like, hey, you know, this is the only time me and my wife can bond at the bar. It's sure. Over at your brother's root beer. So I guess it's got its place, right?
Yeah, it is bringing some people. I don't want to say together, but it is like merging this. Like, hey, I found this thing. I like it.
It's no different. How's it different from Bartles and James Premium Wine Cooler? I know I'm showing my age with that statement, but you know. It's more like that, man. It's more of a wine cooler than a beer.
I guess so, yeah.
Get out of here with all these, you know, 10 reasons to try, and all of them are like craft centric. Like, who are you talking to?
Mm-hmm. All right.
I don't know. Yeah.
But that's a lot of cases.
That's a
lot of cases.
Yeah, man. Cheers to those guys, man. They're cashing in.
Nice. All right. Yeah. And then I think we wanted to mention some tickets that you need to pick up before we get out of here.
Yes, the Valparaiso Ale Fest, which actually goes down like in late summer. Their tickets are on sale now.
Okay.
And you know, we mentioned it because it's right over the border. But you get these Indiana breweries along with like the Midwest breweries and some Chicago breweries.
You get
breweries.
That Sun King.
Yeah, exactly. You get Sun King, Devil's Trumpet, Burnham. You know, all these breweries that don't really get to make it to Chicago, you get to try them, plus all your favorites. And it's just outside the city. You know, you get to explore so many spaces like, you know, Figure Eight, which is in Valpo.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And a lot of these cool like Indiana breweries that, you know, aren't far away, but there's a whole world of brew pubs out there.
Yeah,
what is it,
like Valparaiso is like 45 minutes away?
Yeah, so if you're downtown. Yeah.
So not too bad.
Not terribly far.
Get a DD or someone, you know, that's can definitely going to take it easy that day and drive out there and check it out. They may have a DD ticket. Like sometimes some of these festivals do.
Yeah, VIP is 90. I think DD is usually like 25.
Yeah.
And then general admission is like 60 in most cases.
It's cool. Yeah. Just grab some tickets for that.
Right on.
Well, that's going to do it. For this episode, we still got a lot of beer left to drink here.
Yeah, we do.
But we're going to get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when you're not recording.
I'm on Twitter, man, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter. I mentioned this earlier, at Chicago Beer Pass. Follow us up there, as well as Facebook, /Chicago Beer Pass. We'll share events and let you know what's happening when we're not recording. So follow us up, check that out. And then the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes and Twitter, or not Twitter, yeah, links to Twitter, of course, but links to iTunes and Stitcher, and the YouTube video is there. So check that out as well. But that'll do it for this week's episode. Cheers.
Cheers.